Blog Talk Radio.
Inside a song, there's a hero to discover. There's no way we can triumph without struggle. I'm just like you, why you trying to bring me down? I'm just like you, help me turn this thing around. I dream at night of a better day. You and I in a better place. Don't know how, but I know that I'll reach it. Don't know when, but I know that we need it. Lift me up, don't hold me down. I don't wanna be down, don't bring me down. Lift me up, don't hold me down. I don't wanna be down.
Well, hello, everybody. How you guys doing today? We are out on the road, and of course, we are dealing with all kind of different things, different issues, different things that are happening here at Solar Records Radio out on the road. So I hope everybody is good and things are well where you guys are. Man, oh, man, it is hot. It's so hot. We are in Palm Springs, California. And it is super hot, and we are doing our best to be accommodating to this weather by jumping in the pool whenever we get the opportunity. And you know what the strangest thing is, that the pools out here are air conditioned. So they're cooling the water down so the water's not too hot. Isn't that crazy? That is just wow. And I can't believe it. And it is what it is. So I just want you guys to know that we have experienced the same thing also in Phoenix, Arizona. And you want to say something? You're right there. Gayla's right next to me. She's freaking out. She doesn't like to not be prepared. And I put her.
Well,
on
hello,
the spot
everyone.
All the time. Yeah.
Well, I'm just listening to how he's describing how haunted Palm Springs is. A beautiful place with the mountains, and they're just barren mountains, but they're very stark against the sky, and it's a very, very beautiful city architecturally, and the people, of course, are wonderful. And so we are here enjoying the hot sun and the beautiful people in Palm Springs, California. But even more so for us, we're enjoying those grandchildren that live here in California that we left when we went west. So haven't been able to see them as often as we thought we would, because we thought we'd have an RV. We didn't know COVID was going to hit. We thought we were going to be coming back and forth a lot. But then, of course, has been reduced to, those factors.
Well, okay. We are having a little bit of technical difficulties here, but we're all good. God is good and all things are possible. And so we want you guys to know that we are just waiting on Phoenix and stuff to come in and hang out with us. But we are going to have a really good topic today. Just wanted to chop it up. There's a few things that we're going to be sharing with you in regards to hearing and listening. Hearing and listening. Two different things. And for some of us, it's really shocking. The hearing and listening is two different things, but it completely is. And so we're going to be talking about that just a little later on in the show. And we look forward to that. Oh, my brother, looks like my brother is here now. So we really look forward to talking about this because it affects a lot of relationships when people are unable to communicate in a normal way. But sometimes this listening and hearing thing happens sometimes we don't recognize that we're actually doing this. Sometimes we intentionally do that. Sometimes we intentionally do it, but sometimes we don't realize that that's what's happening, and sometimes people have to bring it to your attention. So today, what's up, Phoenix? How you doing, my brother?
I'm great, brother, man. I was just coming off a very important business call with a film that I'm working on, but I'm here.
All right. And, I just want to say, Dr. Gayla, my wife, is on the line, too. Gayla, that's Phoenix. Phoenix, Gayla.
Can I say hi to Phoenix? Hey, Phoenix, how are you?
Hi. I'm great. You have such an angelic voice. You lifted me up about 5-10 more degrees. I love it. I love the energy in the voice.
Thank you. You know what's funny? Wardell said he first fell in love with my voice before he saw me. But now he just wants me to stop talking.
You see, I taught voice, and I still teach. I taught voice for many years. And I know many times people like to text, but I always say I would rather hear your voice, the inflections, the pitch, power, and pace of your voice. It translates so much energy. But immediately upon hearing yours, it was like Dristan. It's like so encapsulating.
Man.
Very good.
Dristan.
I love
it. Well, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dristan.
It clears up all the congestion.
I know, but I haven't heard that in a long time. Whoa. Man, oh, man.
I'm an old head.
Well, yes, yes.
But
anyway,
thank you.
So Phoenix, did you get any time to research the topic that we're talking about today?
Yeah, I did. You know, I love it because, you know, you used in the latter part of the topic is to listen rather than just hear. And quite often I have to correct people because there's a modern expression that people use today to go, I hear you. And I had to stop some very close friends of mine from saying that. I said, when you say you hear me, is like you hear the words of my mouth or my lips moving, but you're not listening to me. You know, it's actually I hear you. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not connecting to listening to what you're saying. And there's a huge demarcation between listening and hearing, you know. Years ago, when we were studying academically as kids, it was called comprehension. We would have to read or pay attention to the person who was reading, listen and understand to comprehend. But if you just say, yeah, I hear you, it really kind of has a negative connotation.
I think it's really important that we understand that differentiation. Of course, yes. Having my doctorate in psychology and doing assessments all the time, we, of course, had different areas that we assessed, and there was a big difference with listening comprehension, as you mentioned, and just being able to hear. And one of the things that really see it even more so, because there's several factors that influenced it, but people who do have attention deficit disorder, it definitely becomes much more difficult for them to listen. They hear, but they're not using that other part of the brain where the listening comes from. You know, it's interesting because and not only did I study that and did assessments in it, but Wardell pulled up something that really showed some studies, recent studies in this area, and it really did highlight why there is such a difference between hearing and listening. And it was, he got it from, it's called Hearing Versus Listening, from SpeakEasy. INC.com. And I do want to refer to them because it's real important to know that this is based on actual research. And it talked about why is hearing so different from listening. And there was a Ohio University study that talked about all the different ways that we try to communicate and all the different ways we do it. That we're really communicating at least 70% of the time in our wake time. And at that time, you know, there are different ways that we communicate. 9% is writing, 16% is reading, 30% is speaking, and 45% is listening. And when we talk about that 40% of our communication, it's very critical that we understand how to listen effectively, or we won't really get all the full benefits of conversation,
all the details,
you know, of friendship. Well, you know, affect all areas. You're right, Phoenix. That, because most people, like you said, they just assume that listening, not like reading or writing that are just more academic areas and very natural. But it requires minimum effort by anyone without a physical impairment, but it's really not that simple because listening in and of itself is very complex and it involves but what I think
it should be reciprocal. I think what happens is there's an anticipatory response in a conversation. I think typically people, they're not listening as much as they're ready to give you their answer or rebuttal to what you said. So something gets cut off in their ability to listen because they've already got, it's like It's like they got the hammer or the anvil, like the cartoons, in their back of their back, and they're ready to hit you with what they had to say. But they didn't really fully listen to what you just got finished saying.
That's right. And they formed their opinions and, very quickly. And
yeah, they've already formulated
their agenda.
Opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know what I thought was interesting, Phoenix, is that, you know, hearing in of itself is very passive, and it's involuntary. We just, anyone who has normal functioning, not hearing impaired people, but, you know, the ear and brain activities are all involuntary. We just hear sounds. But we don't exercise control over the attention that we give to those sounds that we are listening to and hearing. So it's very important. You know, like, for example, one example of this particular study said that if you're living, you know, next to a train track, we all
right.
who have been near a train track, they may say they never hear the train. They really do. They, in fact,
they block it out.
But the nervous system just has control, and the nervous system is so accustomed to the sound that you can just tune it out subconsciously, because it is possible that we control our thought processes, and we can choose if we want to listen or not. And this particular study says, Phoenix, that there's a physiological reason to that as well as an emotional reason. And I thought that was very interesting to see the distinction between the two.
Especially now,
you
want to add anything? Yeah, we're in an age now where, like, I was recently on a Zoom meeting, a very important meeting. You know, we're talking about a major film, millions of dollars, and there's a group of intelligent, creative, highly motivated individuals on the Zoom meeting. And one of the gentlemen that I particularly brought in is a very close friend of mine, and some very dynamic things were said. And I'm listening. I'm so cued in on the listening. It's like I feel like I'm the train on the rails and I'm riding the track of understanding of what this gentleman is saying. And I'm eating it up. And I found myself saying several times in the conversation, hey, buddy, did you hear what he just said? Because he would go off in a tangent. And I would say, he didn't hear what he said. So I would reiterate and reiterate to go back. I said, I don't think you heard what he said. You know, everybody wants to be the, you know what I mean? He wanted to be the smartest person in the room.
Oh, Phoenix, I know, because if you're dealing with, if your friends are dealing, people who are involved in the music world or in a creative world are right brain. And because they're right brain, they tune in to things that are like that, but they don't turn in and use the left brain, where they're actually taking what's coming in through the ears and they're actually being able to interpret it. Plus, often right brain people, and I put myself in that, and we certainly put Wardell in that, is that often they may have more problems with attention. And because of that, you can be listening and hearing those sounds and people are talking, but your mind begins to wander.
Yes.
And you're beginning to go in different creative kind of ways of thinking. One little thing takes you off on a tangent, and your mind starts, you know, going that direction, and you're not listening to what's being said and being able to use
That's
the brain to interpret it. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. You know, I was born left-handed, and my father had a huge, because he was a professor, college professor, and he hated that I was left-handed. He was like, oh, the world is right-handed, and it's not, you know, it's not designed for left-handed people, because you're left-handed, you're controlled by the right side of the brain, and he forced me to write right-handed. And my parents were called up to the school because I was writing everything upside down and backwards.
Oh.
And to this day, I consider myself a hybrid because I am ambidextrous, even though I am left-handed. I'm a southpaw. But even in the martial arts, I was able to switch off indiscriminately. And it has given me a certain edge because I call myself a hybrid because of it. Because even though I'm highly creative, I'm also super analytical. I can hear things, and I can adjust to the circumstance
Go ahead.
No. That's why I was curious when you spoke about the right side of the brain. I was like, that's super interesting.
Because your dad is right, because you were then utilizing both sides of your brain, and a lot of ambidextrous people. I know the word "elk" ambidextrous. That's why I think made him such a fabulous drummer. But that does help both sides in development. A lot of people who again, who are musical, will tend to be left-handed a lot of times too. But you know, you're right. And we were developing. You know, your father was. It's hard to do. It's hard to change people who just have that natural, you know, feel for right-handed or left-handed.
Correct.
But,
yeah.
You know, that was probably a good thing because you were utilizing both sides of your brain. But people, when they're listening, especially if their attention wanders, so there's a real physiological aspect to it that we're just talking about. But you know what, Phoenix? There's also an emotional aspect, the implications of the emotional. So if it's somebody that you really like, you really enjoy talking to, you're very stimulated by them, then you will tend to give more attention to that person, so that then you are listening to them and you're controlling those natural instincts that the mind has to wander. And I wonder, like WANDER, not WONDER, but that does help a lot in terms of the person you're speaking to and how much, not just respect, but that you really do like them. You want to hear what they're saying.
I tell you, you're hitting on all cylinders. I could talk to you all day because I'm going through a situation, kind of an emotional roller coaster ride through a divorce scenario, and I recently met someone who's overseas, which is so funny. And we met and we communicate that way. It's just platonic, of course. But I am sapiosexual, and I find myself, even as you were speaking, I'm drawn in to something that stimulates me intellectually. And if it doesn't, my mind wanders. And, I get mad at myself because it's like, what did you say again? I get bored easy, you know, if I'm not stimulated.
Yes.
So
well,
I know
we're
exactly
probably all
what
three of us a little ADD. You and me. But, you know, it is something that you really do have to control. And I happen to be ADD, where Dell is more ADHD. You know, if you have that physical component of one, it always moves too. But if you do, that makes it even more difficult, you know, I think. You really have to control. But, you know, despite all that, Wardell is probably one of the best listeners I know. He is able to control that, so he was able to develop those skills, and we all can. We just have to be cognizant and aware that that's who we are, what we're like, and how we then can, you know, turn that around so that we're using our listening skills and
process that information productively.
Yes. And, you know, that thing, Wardell just took that article away from me, so I'm not sure I can remember it. But it talked about, you can be listening, but, you know, your mind either takes in 800 words, you know, which is, it really is. It was very interesting. And looking at this particular article, because I didn't really know, you know, in terms of the actual research, that the average rate of speed for an American, you know, different people with different languages can be different. But for an American, their average rate of speed is about 125 words per minute. But we know that the human brain can process about 800 words per minute. So when somebody else is speaking, it enters our brain at a slower speed. We continue to think at a higher speed. So we have a lot of time to absorb the words we hear and still think of other things. So at first we start off really absorbing everything that the other person is saying, despite we go on to private, you know, sidetrack. But unless we really make a conscious effort to continue to listen, those sidetracks continue to take over. Before
That's
we
right.
know it, we've missed what's being said. And I have to, I think this is a great thing that I'm talking about today, because Wardell probably asked me to do it because he knows that's something I have to work on. Because one of my skills used to be able to listen, but as I've gotten older, it's more difficult. And with the hearing problems I have too, that's, you know, anatomical, you know, he likes for me to tell people I have hearing buds, but they're not hearing buds. They're hearing aids. And probably because I fell out of a tree when I was really young. But it didn't hit me until I was older. But I do know that it has actually, I think, also affected my ability to stay in tune and active listening and using that. But you know what's really good,
okay.
David? This particular article and the people that did this research, they have exercises that they delineate, that they share for active listening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you think of one that you think might be an exercise to help us control our sidetracks? Because I bet you've thought about it before. Have you? Can you think of anything
that might be an exercise
we could do?
Well, my knee-jerk response to that is to really tune in. First of all, you know, as mentioned, if you can latch on to the quality and the tempo of the way someone is speaking, and maybe that's because I think of things musically, I hear melodic. I hear like the difference between maybe someone from Trinidad or an American person is their rhythms in which they speak. I latch on to those things. I pay attention to the highs, the lows. I pay attention to the inflection in the voice. And that helps me as an exercise
right.
to listen better. You know, even as I studied music, you know, I was talking to a gentleman the other day. We were talking about rappers. And, you know, I don't know if you know KRS. And you probably know Busta Rhymes or some of these other artists. They all were from the islands. And their inflection, their pitch, their power, their pace
mm-hmm.
is different from an American. And
mm-hmm.
so it makes their rap very interesting to listen to, as opposed to a classic American that has a different rhythm. And as you study everything from reggae music to some of the diversified forms of pop, it goes back to the rhythm of the drum and language and pitch, power, and how they articulate what they're saying. So for me, I found myself being drawn particularly into you listening because there are quite a few dynamics in your voice. It's not, you know, if you ever speak to somebody that's a monotone, like blah, 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 they put you to sleep. But if they talk to you like this, then every now and then they change and they, you know, you're listening better now. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is a great perspective to share with everyone because I think you're really right. But another interesting thing is, and I was just thinking about this as you talk, it has nothing to do with this particular study providing in terms of information. But, you know, I was also an autism program specialist, and I've worked with a lot of children and adults with autism. And one of the things they say, and if they hear sounds in color, like even music is in color. They have different pitches, and everything is a different color. And that's more of a visual aspect of it, too. So, you know, you can take cues, I guess, auditorily. And if you're, you know, a person with, you know, autistic traits, perhaps even the color aspect could be something that they tune into as well when speaking. I'll have to ask, you know, some of my friends. I have a cousin who is just a musician. She can just play any instrument. She just sits down and just, wow, especially the piano. And it'd be interesting to talk to her about this concept as well. But one of the things that the study talked about is that you really need to learn how to summarize what another person has said without using any notes before you respond, and be real particular about the way the other person summarized what you said. Don't let them off easy, because you just want to keep on going through the exercise. Because remember, I'm talking about exercises, not just common conversation that you're exercising more active listening. And it also talks about, you know, try to think about why was it difficult for you to listen to the others in the group anyway? And if so, why? Why did that happen? And did you have any trouble formulating your reply and listening at the same time? Because sometimes you that's the problem, that you have trouble replying.
Well, for
to
me,
what
if I could, if I could just
doing that listening.
If I could just interject here, sometimes I have a problem with people who digress. They don't stay on track. They fall on and off the rails. Or they use a lot of word whiskers. Word whiskers, too, for me, are distractions in communication. Instead of listening or thinking about the next thing you want to say, people fill their words with word whiskers, like the or like I said.
Yeah,
word whiskers are expressions that detract. To me, one of the best orators of our time was Barack Obama, because I used to listen to him not for any political reasoning, because I don't get caught up with that. But I love the fact that this guy used very little word whiskers. He would speak what he had to say, and then he would say his next thought, and then he might use something to the effect like, let's just be clear, and then he would reiterate the thought. Excellent speaking capability, because you walked away with a fullness of what he had to say, where word whiskers are distractions, or like Jackie Gleason's, you're humming a humming a humming a humming a, get to the point. What are you saying? You get what I'm saying now? That's
absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, some people, some of that is, you know, just built into their having trouble formulating them and formulating the words to get it out. So some of those is just not really stuttering, but, you know, precursor or a different way than a stutter. And then what happens, that detracts from the listener getting what they want to have out of it. You're right about that.
Yeah. That
and I guess, you know, Phoenix, one of the things I just, you know, was noting here as I was just talking and thinking about that, it says one of the things, remember we're talking about exercises, is do you have trouble formulating your reply and listening at the same time? Because sometimes people, you have trouble listening to others because of just the thing that you said. And you have to really think, do you feel that the others were clear in their summaries of the message you were trying to convey? And how can you tell when other members of the group are listening and when they're only half listening? And did some of the members of the group listen more closely than others? And then why? So if you take all these little exercises and, you know, take this experience, then you can begin to see what speaker behaviors make it easy to listen to them and what behaviors that make it difficult to listen. Just what you were sharing about the word whiskers. Did you say whiskers?
Yeah, word whiskers. I didn't make that up. It's actually called word whiskers.
Well, the thing is, communication is always two-way, and you're going to have the sender and you're going to have the receiver. So to get better and more deliberate you are, one skill will undoubtedly make you better at the other.
Okay.
You know, you've got to practice that active listening, and that's something I also have to do, too. I have to be very cognizant of doing that.
I think Wardell is... Wardell is patiently waiting to step in.
Yes, a couple
of, speak, my brother.
Yeah, I think that was great between you two. I just want to just mention a couple of things. We had a caller that called in, and she said that, you know, and I want just to get you guys thought about this. She said that she had an issue when she was younger. She was in school, and there was a teacher teaching the class. And as she was teaching, the kids, it was hard to understand and grasp what she was saying. But another teacher was teaching the same exact thing. It was much easier. And it was that teacher's communication, a form of communication that teacher used, even though it was the same exact thing, it was easier for the kids to grasp on that. And so then I got this message from the listener. It says, the speaker needs to choose their time to deliver their message. It is not just about the listeners. Both sides are important. And so I thought, yeah, those two kind of go together, because the teacher needs to make sure, first of all, she has the children's attention, and her delivery, the way that she delivers her message, is very important for those children. And so what are you guys' thoughts about that?
My thought, first, I thought of Dave Chappelle. I think he's one of the greatest comedians of our time. And once again, it's because of his timing. You cannot tell a good joke and deliver it properly if you don't understand timing. And I think what the listener really brought to the fore is timing, delivery and timing. It's just like a great joke. I've heard other people tell the same joke, the same words, but their timing was off. And nobody's laughing. Someone else comes along, tells the same joke, same words, but their timing is impactful. When they throw that hammer down, bam, everybody's cracking up. And I thought of Dave Chappelle, so that was my thought on that.
Yeah. Okay, Gayla, you have a thought on that?
Well, I would like to say I have a thought, but I couldn't hear our listen because our granddaughter popped into the room trying to whisper something in my ear. So I
apologize. All right, that's okay. That's okay.
I'll be right back in the conversation.
No problem. So anyway, I just want to say that to me, it is very, very important for the person that is having a problem to recognize that it's a possibility that their problem is not all on them. Their problem could be the person that they're communicating with, and it's just not a good connection. Sometimes
it's a two-way street.
Absolutely. And it doesn't really get you off the hook if you really care about that person and you really care about what they're trying to deliver, then you also have a responsibility to let them know, I'm not hearing you clearly. I'm not sure what you're saying. And sometimes we don't say, we just walk away and we're just stuck in this bad space. And so we have to take responsibility for our position, and not just our position, but the communication between us and that other person that we're trying to communicate with. It's everybody has a responsibility here. Yeah. So, be mindful that you are not listening for the opportunity to speak for yourself. Speak yourself. Be mindful that you are not listening only for the opportunity to speak yourself. Absolutely, because That's I'm just reading stuff that's coming in. That, you know, we have to, if you are trying to communicate and you are not just dictating, you know, then you just got to be mindful. It's a two-way street or whatever it is. You got to make sure that you are listening and at the same time you are giving them the opportunity to, you know, you're blessing them with words that they can understand. You know, because I can sometimes see when someone's in front of me and I'm trying to explain something, like the kids or something, I can kind of see that they're not getting it. And then I have to kind of like have to go around a different way. You know, so we need to pay attention. That's really it right there, Phoenix.
Because now you're looking at their facial expressions, especially I find when you deal with different cultures. As an American, a lot of times I interface with Asians, and our jokes that are American are not felt in the Asian community. We might talk about baseball or something that we think is hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet, and guess what? They're looking at us and saying, huh? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And so when the facial expressions change, when you're looking at somebody, which now you're applying more of the five senses, it becomes more interpretive. But over the phone, or I find with at least with Zoom, as I mentioned, I found the communication error is a word that something that you say a lot, Wardell, paying attention. If you're not really paying attention to what the person is saying, especially when there's a lot of money on the table. This is a $30 million project. And it's like, excuse me, did you hear what he just said? You missed the boat.
Right,
you
right.
didn't hear it.
Right, right.
You know, so it gets more tenuous in a business environment where there's a lot of money, there's astute people, and then there's the creative process, and somebody's jumping the gun and going over to say something the guy's already said. It could be a deal breaker. And so I had to almost be like the referee and say, excuse me, folks, did you hear what he just said? Then it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. When we listen, are we often on automatic pilot, distracted with life? Is that what happens sometimes? You know, because this, I purposely, I shouldn't say that. I might get in trouble. But sometimes, I was going to stop my wife. Sometimes I'm so focused on other things, and my wife is talking, and I hear her, but I'm completely not listening. Completely not listening. I mean, I am intentionally not listening because I'm focused on something else that I'm doing, and to me, her timing is bad because she just is coming in and just start talking. I am not listening to you. I hear you, but I'm not listening to you. And sometimes, you know, I feel bad because I should probably say something like, you know, put a finger up or something. And sometimes I do that, but sometimes I don't. And it's not real nice. You know, it's not nice. I mean, I think
in
general,
a marital situation is totally different. You know, when you love somebody, you know, there's an old adage, you always hurt the ones you love because you begin, as you get comfortable in the relationship, you start to assume that they get it. And sometimes they don't. And so what we're talking about today is could be very fruitful, you know, if we use some of the exercises that was mentioned, if we really listen, instead of just being anticipatory, like you mentioned, just being on autopilot. You know, I heard what you said, but boom, take this. You know, like a card game that you slam the card on the table because you're the aggressor. But if you're really listening and you really love someone, it's good not to assume or get too casual or comfortable, because you might miss some of the little nuances that are so beautiful to know. You know, I had a conversation with somebody earlier, and we were talking about different cultures. And I've noticed people go to dinner, for instance, and they're sitting at a beautiful environment, and oh, the salmon and Caesar salad wine, and oh, they got all the accoutrements that you would want at the dinner table. But there's no communication. Like, how does that happen? Or they both pull out their cell phones and they're on the phone, but you're at this social event between the two of you, and nobody's talking and nobody's listening to what the person should or could be saying. And I find that so unappealing. I never want to grow older to be with a loved one where I can't communicate, to receive, to reciprocate, to give and take, like we said, in a great conversation. Never want to be that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I'm not sure if this is a European saying, but I want to know if you heard this saying before. There's a saying, the definition of a bore is someone who is talking to you when really you want to speak. Have you heard that before?
I haven't heard it, but I understand the mechanics of it. Okay. Again, they should be reciprocal. If they're not reciprocal, if they're not endearing, like I think you mentioned, if you love someone and you care about, even if it's a philia, a friendship, and you're listening and you're totally paying attention, you want to add, not subtract.
Right.
That's just, to me, common sense.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, we're out of time here, and I just want to say thank you to Gayla, and I'll turn your mic on. Close my door, though. My wife just walked into my office, and so, but I want to be I want to turn her mic on so she can say goodnight, and thank you, Phoenix, for you two. Y'all had an amazing conversation for the first time. I never heard you two go at it like that. That was good. So,
yeah, I mean, Gayla is an amazing person, because obviously she's very intelligent, but she's very endearing. The tonal quality of her voice draws you into a conversation. She's a great conversationalist because she hits on all cylinders. And that is so appreciative of that, because she's not combative, but she's, in an illustrative way, she's engaging. And so I enjoyed listening to her.
Awesome.
And I'm
awesome.
Not sure, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I wanted to say thank you. And I thought the same thing about you too. And not only enjoyed your tone, but also your vocabulary and your understanding, your perceptive skills, I think are very, very high on the charts. So I'll be looking forward.
I'm just a songwriter.
Hearing about this enterprise that you're doing with these business people that you were just sharing about at the beginning of our conversation, I'll be really happy to get some type of inside information about how well that goes.
Okay.
Well, you know,
now you need to
like
put
my partner
your phone
Cordell
closer to
says,
your mouth.
Great. Huh?
I was telling Gayla she needs to put you need to put your phone closer to your mouth. You got the wrong phone.
Oh, my
to your
phone,
mouth.
Not your phone, but my phone.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Okay. Yes. Okay, go ahead, Phoenix. Sorry for this thing.
No,
I
was just saying that it's very important. Wardell constantly says we have to pay attention to certain buzzwords that he uses uniformly through most of our shows. Pay attention and to listen, And it's very apropos here because when you're in a business environment, and my dad used to say there's nothing funny about money, because if you mess up somebody's money, it no longer is it a laughing matter. And when you're engaged, especially something transcontinentally, it was like the UN, and certain things were being communicated but were being misdiagnosed. I had to play referee and say, let me step in here. Did you hear what he just said? You missed the boat. And it was,
wow.
It was a very important position that I played, that ultimately everything worked out well. But it just fit this discussion today because we are so insulated today as a society. We're overstimulated. We're self-absorbed. We're easily distracted. We're in the me-ism world, me-first attitude. And communication can get lost in the sauce. And that's something we all need to work on so much better. We got to do better. Like Grandma used to say, do better, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I love that description, lost in the sauce, because, you know, that's it very, very much describes today's world.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, thank you again. And it's time to move on to Mix It Up and on Soul Eye Records Radio. Love the both of you and appreciate y'all very much. And so that time for a little bit of I'll Be Sure here on Soul Eye Records Radio. So, guys,
excellent.
We'll catch you guys next time here on Soul Eye Records Radio.
And I think we missed. I think we.
Hold it. Don't go anywhere, people. Okay, Phoenix.
I'm sorry. I thought we missed. I know your wife wanted to say something, and I enjoy her as much. So we kind of missed that, but that could be for another time.
That's all right. I mainly wanted to tell you thank you, that I really enjoy talking with you as well, and thank you so much for the compliments. And I throw them right back at you.
Okay. Cool.
Right.
Enjoy
so
the rest of your day. Okay.
That's how we do it on Soul Eye Records Radio, guys.
never needed anyone as much as I need you. You know, you've made me a changed man. You've gave me what I've always wanted. A very, very true love. A type of love that has me hooked in a situation that I can't deal without. You know, it all comes to one conclusion, baby. I love you. I really, really love you.
My life would end if we should part.
All right, we are out here in Palm Springs doing our thing, guys. Oh, it is beautiful out here. It's hot, but the beautiful. It's so strange because I've been craving concrete, being in at the farm at the ranch, but there's nothing but dirt, trees, and you know all that stuff, all that good stuff. So to be out here in Palm Springs and just look at the ground. Solid ground. I'm excited just to see concrete. It's so strange. You always want what you don't have, isn't it? The grass is always green on the other side. But, you know, I realize that I'm missing my animals, and I want to get back home to them as well. So, you know, it is what it is. And like that saying goes, you can't have your cake and eat it too, which I hate that saying. Why have cake and you can't eat it? But anyway, whatever the case is, I just wanted to, remind you guys that we are mixing it up here on the second half of the hour. And tomorrow we will be doing Indie Jazz Day. So you don't tell me what you may hear today. We're going to mix it up. We're here out, in a very special place. And we're just going to try to have a good time here and do what we have to do to be a blessing to you. And thank you for blessing us here on Solar Records Radio. So, you know, guys, time to mix it up. Oh, once again, thanks to Gayla and Phoenix for, you know, just blessing us and stuff. We really appreciate, you know, the conversation and stuff. And, you know, what they're trying to do is just kind of share out, you know, how we, you know, sometimes we're not paying attention to what's happening in terms of the communication between one another. And sometimes people, you know, they know you're not listening. They know you hear them, but you're not listening, and it hurts their feelings. And how unfortunate is that, right? How sad is that for a relationship to have to survive through that, especially when you're dealing with people that, you know, that sometimes don't tell you that it hurts their feelings that you're doing it. They just kind of quiet and they just take it. They take the pain and they just hope, and they live in hope that it will eventually go away, you know, because, you know, don't forget, hope only exists in the future, right? Hope only exists in the future. So it's just hoping that things get better, that it's going to be okay. And that's a terrible place, because if you put yourself in that position where you hope, you know, that this person stops abusing you naturally, they just abuse you and you're hoping that they stop. That's a terrible place to be, you know. So just sometimes we have to think about that other person for them. We have to think for them. I know that I could tell that might be hurting their feelings. Or, you know what, I don't know if it is or not. So let me ask. Let me ask them, hey, did that hurt your feelings? Are you okay? I didn't mean to. You know, and then that way you open it up and you give them a chance to share, because some people are very quiet and they'll hold it. And those same people that hold it will explode possibly on you. And all, you know, just as they've been holding it for so long that when they do decide to say something, you're like, whoa, who are you? Where did you come from? You know, so you got to be careful when you're doing that to people, because you could be setting yourself up for a bad situation as well. So it's all about communication, and it's all about caring and loving and respecting the person on the other side of the relationship, no matter what kind of relationship it is, right? No matter, it doesn't matter if it's your kids, your grandkids, your mate, you know, your parents. Respect the person on the other side, even your teachers. Respect the people on the other side, because that all that does is blesses you in return, all right? Anyway, let's keep this music going, because I feel so close to you right now on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. out in Palm Springs trying to get
connection.
I feel so close to you right now. It's a force field. I wear my heart up on my sleeve like a big deal. Your love pours down on me, surround me like a waterfall. And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
Thank you. Thank you all very, very much. Muchas gracias. Merci beaucoup. We'll play you one more. I want to thank you all for being a great audience tonight. You really helped us play very well. I enjoyed myself. I think everyone did. And especially it's a great pleasure for me to have played all of our new music for you. You never heard it before, and I think it went very well tonight, and that's because you listened very well. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, all right. Yes, that is Chip Corea. Rest in peace, my brother, my wonderful teacher, amazing musician, composer, artist. Yes, give it up for Chip. Chip Corea. Let's give it up for Chip. Oh, my God. Yes. Come on. Give it up for Chip. Thank you, Chip Corea. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, wow. Yes, Chick Corea was absolutely an amazing musician, absolutely incredible songwriter, composer, producer, artist. I mean, he really had it going on, and we're so grateful to him for his legacy that he's left. What an amazing artist. So thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for blessing us. Anyway, guys. So we got a little bit longer, just a little bit more here on Soul Light Records Radio. Thank you all for tuning in, hanging out with me today. Really appreciate you very, very much. As we're mixing it up here in the second hour, Mix It Up with Wardell Potts Jr. today. And so I hope all is well. Thanks to Phoenix and Gayla for the earlier part of the show as they we're handling This Is It. And so look forward to tomorrow for our Indie Jazz Show. Tune in 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we celebrate our indie artists and our jazz artists, as you just heard. That what you just heard is what you will hear tomorrow as well. So when we mix it up, we play all the different types of music that we play throughout the week in this 1 hour. So so you'll hear, no telling what you'll hear next. But this next song that I do want to play you, since I said no telling, I'm going to tell. All right, so this next song that I play you, it's one of my favorite songs, and it's one of my favorites. I hear it like on TV shows, commercials and stuff. It's an amazing song by John Denver, and I listened to some of the lyrics and stuff that Mr. Denver used to write, and they're absolutely amazing. And so, in this particular song, the song is called Annie's Song, and it's about the love of his wife, really, and how wonderful she was to him, and how much she meant. But if just listen to the words in this song, oh my God, I just love lyrics. And this song is such a beautiful song. And so thank you guys again for tuning in today. Don't forget tomorrow. And we still got a little bit of time to go, so thanks for hanging out with me today. Love you. And let's see what we got here. That little Jody Watley in the background there with her new song. I'm going to play that for you as well. But I want you to hear Annie's song right now.
You fill up my senses like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again. Let me love you, let me give my life to you, let me drown in your laughter, let me die in your arms, let me lay down beside you, let me always with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me. Like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me.
Possession, I would take them
from the garden to be mine.
Oh,
gentle flower growing wild. You see, I know you have it hard sometimes, but when you feel like you need me, or you can call me, you see, because I'll be somewhere around. You see, not only that, you see, I'll be your bridge over troubled waters. You see, the reason why I say this, baby, is because I love you, girl. I love you so much. Oh, sometimes I can't even explain. You see, you're like a flower that blooms in any season. And that's why I like to say, you're my flower, baby. You're my flower. Oh, baby.
Blessing us and being a part of Soul Out Records Radio. We really appreciate you and just so grateful that you guys have blessed us these years and stuff. And I wanted to just encourage you to go to our store on soulartrecordsradio.com or wardellpottsjr.com and go into our store and shop, you know, look for shop and get yourself some of our gear, you know, our hats and shirts and records. You know, we have music there as well. We got all kind of things, different things there. If you want to be a blessing to us, you know, in that way, we appreciate it. Or if you just want to donate, you know, you can donate to the show as well down there at the bottom of the page, the first page you get to. Thank you so much for supporting Soul Out Records Radio. We appreciate you. And we love you guys. And so these last few songs have been very, very meaningful to me in terms of the lyrical content. So, Greg, I got your message. And thank you, you know, for loving Annie's song now. It's such a beautiful song. And I'm just so proud of John Denver for his creativity and blessing us with his music. So anyway, guys, so I'm going to play one more song that really means the same thing to me, like the last two songs I played so far. Lyrically, they are some of my favorite all-time songs. And so I'm going to leave you with this song here by the Bee Gees, and we'll see you tomorrow at what time? 3 p.m. Eastern Standard, all right? So God bless you guys. Take it easy, and we'll see you later. We're in Palm Springs, California. Loving it out here. Loving it. Good night.